I was just saying to myself the other day, I never see Dick Wellman. It must have been 12 hours since I've last seen Dick Wellman. I wonder what he's been doing with himself for the last 12 hours. But here he is at the Mary Griffith Show. We're going to talk today about all things Dogwood, but most specifically what's happening at the Lorenzo Bull House. And people say, where the heck is that? Well, that's that beautiful house at the corner of 16th and Main. It used to be the home of the Women's City Club. So people sometimes still call it the Women's City Club. It is not. It is the Lorenzo Bull home, and it is a public park in the city of Quincy.
It is. It's still the home of the Women's City Club.
Yes,
so
but it's not that's not its only purpose.
That's not its only purpose, no.
And so today we're going to talk about how this home, this structure, this edifice has expanded its mission and purpose in the city. And Dick Wellman is one of the people that's making that happen. So, Dogwood Festival. Of course, anyone who has a home or a space on Main Street is flooded with people wanting to come and sit on their front porch. But we have a park right on Main Street, Lorenzo Bull Park at 16th and Main. And so, why not go and sit there to watch the parade? I understand there'll be bleachers and carnival rides and all kinds of fun things happening.
Just all kinds of wonderful things. This is our third year. We're so excited because this year we have a major sponsor. We have Hilbing Auto Body as our major sponsor this year. So we were able to expand the festival as it being our third year. So we've added a lot more things. It's just going to be a huge event because we have so many food trucks. We're going to have a whole food court on 16th Street between Main and Jersey. It's going to be really exciting with the carnival rides. We also have carriage rides brought to us by Porcher's Rock Creek Stables. So a lot of people don't get to ride in a carriage very often through the historic district, but this would be your day for that chance.
And who is responsible, Dick Wellman, for picking up after these little ponies?
Oh, that will be us, the Friends of the Lorenzo Bull House.
Oh, we'll talk about membership opportunities later. That's a recruitment. This is so great. The Dogwood Festival Parade, everybody wants to come down early and get a good seat. You have some bleacher seating, so there'll be elevated seating for the parade.
Right.
Which is important because inevitably, if you're sitting on the curb, somebody brings their lawn chair and sits down right in front of you or stands right in front of you. And so this is be a way for people to get elevated, get up off of the street level, see it from a different perspective. How much seating is available? How many people can fit there?
We're going to have several bleachers, thanks to Quincy Park District, are going to bring us several of their portable bleacher units. So there'll be quite a bit of seating
there. A couple of hundred?
Oh, probably, easily. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then they can come and stake out their spot. But then while they're waiting for the parade to pass by, there'll be all kinds of other things to do. And these will all be helping the Friends of the Lorenzo Bull House, because the Park District, while it owns the property, admits it does not have enough money, the taxpayer supply, to really keep up this property. And so the volunteer group has taken over, and they're really doing a bang-up job.
Right, we are. We've really tried to rebrand that and let the community know that that's a great community space. We coined the phrase, it's Quincy's front lawn, because it is the Lorenzo Bull Park right in the middle of town here and right on Main Street. So we have the perfect seats for watching a big parade like the Dogwood.
So what time will activities start?
Well, the parade generally starts at 9. Takes a little bit for it to get to 16th and Main. So, you know, maybe like 9:30-ish, something, somewhere around there.
When will the food, will food be available at that time?
The Munchbox has told us that they will be serving breakfast items. Rustic Canteen's going to be there, and they'll have coffee and other drinks. So we'll have those things. The rest of the food vendors will really be ramping up about 11, so just in time for lunch. So you can get Cousin's Maine Lobster, which is, I guess, very popular these days. The Munchbox, Nice and Grill Chill, Big Bros Barbecue, and then later, if you want some sweet stuff, we have sweet treats, candies, and ice cream. So just all kinds of fun to things.
So spend your whole day if you want to there at Lorenzo Ballpark. And I'm fascinated by the carnival ride activities. Now, this is not a full-fledged Knights of Columbus, you know, size carnival. No. However, in the olden years, the Dogwood Festival always had a carnival downtown. So now you've taken a little miniature glimpse of that and put it at 16th and Main.
We have. We've taken the field out by the Art Center, and we're adding some carnival rides there. We were approached by a carnival company out of Beardstown called Connor Amusements, and they said they could bring us a few carnival rides, and so they agreed to do that, and so we're going to have that.
Do you know what they're bringing? I mean, not a Ferris wheel or
not
anything
yet,
like that.
No, nothing. He said nothing too large like a Ferris wheel, but it would be smaller rides.
Right, but for the kiddies.
Yeah,
something for them to do. So they'll watch the parade either before the parade starts or after the parade or during the parade. There'll be lots of activities
That's
going to
be going all day from 9 to 5.
Okay.
So there'll be plenty of things. We also have two bounce houses. We have the doggy paddlers are making a presentation there. They're going to show up and entertain the people a little bit. So that's going to be fun.
Collegiate baseball team that is coming to Quincy, a replacement for our Gems, the doggy paddlers. So will they be, what does that mean? They'll be entertaining. Will they be throwing the ball around?
They do. They have some games for the kids.
Good.
So that'll be fun.
Their little mascot is so cute.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if the mascot's going to be there yet,
but some of them will be there.
Well, Dick, I mean, I'm sure a dog costume could be crafted for you. I mean, it's only Tuesday.
One thing that we'll have that'll be huge, too, is the debut of the Bicentennial Mobile Museum. So that is something new they created for the Adams County Bicentennial, but we have the first showing of the Bicentennial Mobile Museum.
Now you've intrigued me. I've heard about it. I want to know more about it. What indeed is the Bicentennial Mobile Museum?
Well, it's an interesting trailer that they've decorated all up about the Adams County Bicentennial. They have a number of banners that they will pull out that have all kinds of history about Adams County. So that sounds really interesting. We're excited to see it because it's been kept pretty much under wraps. So we get to have it first.
Debuting. On the grounds of the Lorenzo Ballpark. Now, this is something you can walk through and observe?
Yes, you can walk the banners. I think they pull them out, actually, and put them on the lawn, so they come out of the trailer.
Dick and I are trying to decide how to describe it, but we can't describe it because we haven't seen it. So what is it called again? The Bicentennial?
It's the Bicentennial Mobile Museum.
The Mobile Museum. Well, I know that one thing they want to do is to make sure that every aspect of our community is represented, including every village, township, and community in Adams County. And since the Dogwood Festival was started by our state representative at the time, Mary Lou Kent, she wanted this whole area to celebrate that community feel. And what better place than on America's front porch right there at the Lorenzo Bull House. So is there a cost involved? There's no cost to sit in the bleachers, is there?
No cost to sit in the bleachers. No cost to come to our event. Some of the vendors do charge, like the carriage rides, I think, are $10 a person.
Obviously coffee and all that stuff is going to cost you.
Coffee and food are going to, you're going to spend for.
How do you make money on it?
Well, like I said, we had a major sponsor, Hilbing, and then we had also Kex Heating and Air help us sponsor our food court, so we were able to do that. We're having house tours that also sponsored by Peters Heating and Air Conditioning, so the house tours will be completely free because of them. Some of the other events you will pay, like the carnival rides, they will be charging admission for those. The vendors will be helping us out by giving us a little bit of a rebate or commission off of that.
So a portion of the sales will go to the Lorenzo Bull House. Great thought process going into making a festival. We're used to having parties at Washington Park. We have parties at South Park, at Mormon Wavering Park. Why not have a party right in the heart of Quincy, right in the middle of a residential area at 16th and Main, and kind of bring ourselves back to the days when the Bull family lived there and they were the host with the most. And so you're doing it all again. So basically from about 9 o'clock in the morning on, you can get a cup of coffee, something to eat for breakfast. You can hang around, ride a few carnival rides, get your seat on the bleachers, watch the parade go by, get all your candy and everything hurled at you, and then take a tour of the house later, continue to eat your lunch down there. You
take
can
the carriage ride.
Take the carriage ride. You can do all of this. And all of it benefits the Lorenzo Bull House. Anything else, Dick Wellman?
Oh, one more thing, too. We're also going to have Bookmobile is going to show up. The new mobile library is going to show up,
it's
too.
It's going to be in the parade, so as it passes
yes.
by, it'll give a special toot.
After the parade, is it coming to parking? It's coming to Lorenzo Bull Park.
That is fabulous. So after the parade, you can stay on the grounds there at 16th and Main and not only see the mobile museum, but the new mobile library. How fantastic. Well, Dick, thank you so very much for sharing this today. And we certainly hope that everybody who visits Quincy will come and plenty of parking at 16th and Main down basically south. I would park to the south because then you won't have to cross the street.
Right.
But if you park on the north before the parade starts, you'll be able to get across the
sure.
street quite easily. But there are lots of little residential streets there. Don't block anybody's driveway, please. You know. But there's lots of parking down there. It's just general residential area, but there's plenty of parking on the street, so it shouldn't be a problem. And we're used to walking in a little ways. And if you want to bring your own lawn chair so you can sit, that's fine, but there will be bleacher seating.
Yep.
Okay. Well, speaking of great activities coming on, and speaking of the bicentennial, my next guest knows all about a special bicentennial event. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Nathan Seaman. And coming up in this commercial break, hear more about how you can help the Quincy Park District by buying a commemorative bench. Maybe we need another bench on the grounds of the Lorenzo Bull House.
We do. We'd love to have a couple of benches.
Okay, so here's how you can be part of that. World traveler Dr. Nathan Seaman joins me today. It's very difficult to get him booked on the Mary Griffith Show. He's traveling everywhere. He's busy everywhere. But he made time today, and we're so glad that he did.
Good morning.
We have never met before.
No.
And so it's so nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
I've never heard a bad word spoken of you, and it seems like I'm the only person in Quincy who doesn't know you, so I'm very glad to get to know you. But before we talk about your great musical accomplishments and this huge City of Refuge Symphony and this big event that's going on May 10th, let us learn a little bit about you. Please tell me as much as you want to share
of course.
About yourself.
Well, I'm not a Quincy native. I originally from Arizona, and my wife and I moved to Texas for medical school. I actually was a choir teacher for junior high and high school choir for a couple years there before going to medical school. And then we came up here for residency and fell in love with Quincy. We have a large family. We have 9 children and happily married here in Quincy. Love it. It's a great community, a great place to raise your kids. Wonderful people here in Quincy.
Okay. So you're a medical doctor.
Yes.
But I was confused because you also are a composer.
Well, yes.
And I thought you were that other kind of doctor. If I'd have known, I would have said, doctor, I've got this hitch right here.
Right.
So we'll talk later about that. So you're a medical doctor. I know that in your family tradition, music appreciation is very important. Playing music is traditionally very important. And so it's not surprising that you have this as a hobby. But if you're going to compose a symphony and be a doctor at the same time, wow, and have 9 kids?
Yeah.
Are you a robot?
There's a lot going on, yes.
So let's talk about this event. It is Saturday, May 10th. It is in the evening hours. It's the culmination of a whole day long of activity that's going on
yes.
with bicentennial related themes.
Yeah.
And the brilliance of this event is it's a celebration of religious freedom.
Correct.
Because Quincy had this unique, I don't know if it was our geographic location, I don't know if it was the kind of people that were living here, but whatever, we seem to attract the downtrodden. Well, mm-hmm. welcome.
Yes.
it seems like everybody who's having a problem ends up in Quincy. You
right.
know? Wherever you're being driven out of, whether you're coming from the west and being driven east, or coming from the east and driven west, or there's a famine in Ireland,
yeah.
or things aren't so great in Germany.
Correct.
All boats, roads, mule carts
right.
lead to Quincy. So tell us a little bit about this symphony then, about this celebration of religious freedom. The City of Refuge.
Yes.
That's not the name of the event, though. What's the name of the event?
So that concert that night is actually the City of Refuge concert, but the actual symphony that was composed is entitled The City of Refuge.
Okay, so it is the city.
It is the same. They're both duplicate title there. Quincy has this incredible legacy of people who have been abused or downtrodden, who also stay and then help rescue other people who have come and are experiencing that same thing. There's this ability to empathize and to really open up your heart and your homes to people to say, hey, we've been hurt, and come here. This is a place where you can heal and receive some respite from the struggles that you're experiencing. So this the impetus for this was, okay, my faith has a history of that, where they rescued, it's the largest humanitarian in the United States, the largest humanitarian rescue proportionately that we've ever experienced, where we had 5,000 people come to a place of like 1,000 people. So every structure was being used to house people to make it through the winter. There was a very difficult winter. And I felt, you know, I have people here that I work with who are descendants of these people that saved the life of my ancestors. So I wanted to create a musical gift for the people of Quincy to enjoy, that's just a goodwill offering to say, hey, thank you so much for your kindness and generosity. And let's take this opportunity to help teach the rising generation about these incredible things that we can do to navigate the difficulties of the world today.
Because immigration and the immigrant story has always been our story. It's never going to not be our story.
Right.
And so Dr. Seaman is here, and he is a medical doctor. See, all this time I thought he was going to tell me he had his PhD in musicology or something.
No.
He wrote this symphony, the City of Refuge, in reference he is to the Latter-day Saint religion. Some people call them the Mormons. That's kind of a nickname for them, but the actual name of their church is the Latter-day Saints. And the state of Missouri issued an edict. Boy, we think sometimes our governors do weird things today. The governor back then said, I don't like Mormons, and so we're going to kill all the men and boys over the age of 13, and we'll let the women live if they can get somewhere
to
safety.
Out, yes.
They can get out safely.
Yeah.
And so Emma Smith and a group of really bedraggled refugees who had walked across Missouri. Now, they weren't being driven out of Palmyra. They were being driven out of western
yes.
Missouri and
yes.
then across Missouri. And because you mentioned the harsh winter, but the harsh winter, in a sense, saved them because the river froze.
Yes, then they
And
could
they
cross.
Were able to make it across that frozen Mississippi
right.
River, and here they come ashore in Quincy.
Yes.
And the rescue operation begins. And again, we've talked about it a lot on the Mary Griffith Show with Jack Freiberg, with Chuck Schultz, about this humanitarian mm-hmm. effort. Here are people who are definitely other. They don't share the religious tradition of the people in Quincy. Some of their customs are considered bizarre and weird.
Yes.
You know, they are definitely the other. They are also definitely impoverished and definitely in need of help.
Yeah.
And this is a continuous story across the city of Quincy. Probably the biggest, impact was that Latter-day Saint rescue mission. One thing I've always missed about this story, when these group of Mormon refugees, these Latter-day Saints, came across the river, obviously John Wood had compassion in his heart and mustered this help group. But there had to be, at some point, you know, okay, a day or two of this is fine. How long did they stay, and what was the attitude after 30 days,
right,
60
right.
days? Because, you know, it's one thing to give somebody a hamburger.
Right.
It's another thing to have to build a whole restaurant for.
Right, right, exactly. And to stay in somebody's home for months on end, you know, it wasn't just like, okay, we can rescue for this week in the winter. Oh, winter's over. You can go now. No, winter
or
was going.
Be on your way.
Right,
they had
right.
nowhere to go.
They stayed for many, many months. In fact, some people stayed and actually stayed in Quincy afterwards.
Right.
They didn't leave. But it was a process of about a year to 2 years before Commerce, Illinois actually opened up, which is now Nauvoo. And then then moved up to Nauvoo and settled that area there. But it was several months where many people just gave and gave and helped people live and gave jobs and food and subsistence for them, including clothing, and really sacrificed their whole lives just to keep people alive for many, many months.
So a symphony has many movements, and this is just one of the movements, because another great tale is Quincy being an abolitionist city, rescuing black folk from the on the Underground Railroad, the first black Catholic priest in America, Father Gus Tolton, not born here, but we'll claim him. Mm-hmm. He was here. And so there's a part of that. And then also the Potawatomi Indians, who, again, were being driven out of their homeland, and let's go somewhere where nobody else is, but they had to stop along the way.
And so were helped, yes.
You created all this, and those are the add more if you want. So how does this all work from a symphonic point of view?
So there's four movements to the symphony. The first movement is entitled The Bluffs, and it actually is a musical description of the landscape of Quincy. You know, it's on the Mississippi River. And so it starts off kind of describing like a sunrise where there's no people here before people come. And then the music describes as people come and industry builds and the interactions of the people. That's the first movement. The second movement goes into something more of a wounded state where it talks about how hurt people, and it's more of a musical expression of what we feel when we are hurt by others. And then also I took the liberty to describe in there what I thought God felt as we hurt each other. And so at the end, it ends with harp and violin and just this really sad feeling to the music in the second movement of being wounded. The third movement is Rescue, which is a nod to being rescued on the Mississippi, but also to Underground Station Railroad number 1, to the Catholic immigrants and the German Irish immigrants that came over, and the feeling of redemption and how mankind has this incredible ability to really save and succor and help people. Then the last movement is the title movement, City of Refuge, and it's a nod to all of the past and the potential for the future, this bright celebratory movement that talks about the incredible things that can happen as we, as humanity, really take the time to listen to each other and try to understand each other and help each other be better.
My guest today is Dr. Nathan Seaman. He is a medical doctor here in Quincy, father of 9, and he's a transplant to Quincy, a willing immigrant to our shores, and he is part of this big celebration on May 10th at the Morrison Auditorium at the Junior High. We have to take a crass commercial break to pay our bills. When we come back, we will discuss more about the City of Refuge Symphony, how you can get tickets, how you can be part of it. You definitely will not want to miss it. And we'll hear about some other activities that are happening with the Adams County Bicentennial. First, we have to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative to see what's happening on the farm markets. Dr. Nathan Seaman, a delightful man. What are you a doctor of?
Family medicine.
I'm too old. I don't have a family, so I don't run into. I'm like, how did I not meet this doctor? There's everything in the world is wrong with me. I can't believe this guy doesn't have some specialty that I haven't suffered from. Going to geriatrics, we'll see each other often. The idea of writing a symphony. Now, okay. You sit down one day and you say, you know what, Bicentennial's coming up. I've got a few extra minutes here. I think I'll write a symphony. I'm trying to be facetious, but... Right. Talk to me.
Yeah, let me...
I mean, you get the idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Okay, an idea is great. I've got an idea for a book. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to write it.
Yeah, back in October, I had the commission. We were meeting together, and there was an idea of having a commissioned work to be then performed later on in the year as part of those Bicentennial.
So the Bicentennial Commission, you were already on the radar screen.
Yes.
You're already part of that.
Correct, yes. And so, and I thought to myself, hey, I'm a musician. I've written music before. I've never written a symphony, but I'm like, you know what? I have this historical relationship with Quincy and the Adams County area. And wouldn't it be nice to have a musical gift offered to them and to be able to write a piece for them? So I said, I'll do it. So I started actually back in October and just, you know, pondering ideas and praying about things and sort of writing some musical ideas down. And then just, you know, between patients, sometimes I would write some stuff down or I'd go on a run and have a musical idea kind of run in my head and then pull it all back together and then sit down on the piano at home and start writing some stuff down. And it just came to be. And I came with the ideas of the four movements, you know, the Bluffs and the Wounded and Rescue and City of Refuge. And over the months, by the end of February, I was done and sent it to publishing, and there you go. There's a symphony.
The only thing I have issue with is you talk about when there were no people here in the Bluffs, but there were people here.
Right.
And I've had a few people that are affiliated with the Indigenous group say that the Bicentennial Committee is not fully representing the fact that, you know, 200 years, whoopity-ding, we've been here for over 2,000.
Right.
So do you feel, I mean, you're a member of the commission,
yes.
You've written this work, it doesn't have to be about everything and everybody, but are the Indigenous people that, because we don't know anything about them, because in a way, we forced their evacuation.
Correct.
In a way, the City of Refuge came to be built on the bluff where other people had been occupying, but we decided it was not convenient enough for them to be here. There is always an irony, isn't there?
There is.
Because sometimes the immigrant displaces
another.
The Indigenous.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes the immigrant ends up being then the local people, and then they help others.
Right.
And I think that this Potawatomi treatment may be, in a sense, our way of saying, we're so sorry. You know, we didn't do it at the same level.
Right.
But we just forced people out because we came in and said, well, you don't understand. We own this land. John Wood goes, I have this piece of paper.
Yeah, and they're like, what
they're
does
like,
that mean?
What does that mean?
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but before you came walking over here with your horse and your axe and your awl, this is my land.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is, as we celebrate our 200 years, we try to look what we're going to look like 200 years from now.
Yes.
And last night, it just happened to be at the city council meeting. We had a Hindu woman rise. Mm-hmm. We had so many people who were not born here, mm-hmm. people like you who have come and made this our community.
Yeah.
And then you have equal number of people who are natives here, who have been here generations and generations. It takes that whole mix, in a way.
For sure,
to
yes.
To make it happen.
Yeah, to relate and to understand. One of the things that's beautiful about this performance that's going to happen is there's a movie that's actually being shown while the symphony is being played. And there is pictures and drawings of Indigenous people. And the music actually references Indigenous people. I actually composed sections of the piece to have Native American melodies throughout the piece. So you'll hear a reference and a nod to and an acknowledgement that you're right. The Eastern European or the European settlers were not the first people here on this land. There were Native Indigenous people that were here, and gratefully so, they allowed us to survive when we came initially. It was a huge gift.
And we now that we, when you know better, you do better.
Yes.
We've tried to preserve the Indian Mounds.
Correct.
You know, so many kids swim at Indian Mound Swimming Pool and never knew why it was called that.
Right,
and
right.
I think that this bicentennial is such a great way. There are so many people here in Quincy who mm-hmm. don't understand, how do we get the name Quincy? Who is John Quincy Adams?
Yes.
What did he do for our country? Why would a whole bunch of people living out in the middle of nowhere want to name their town for this guy? He never came here. Didn't have anything to do with anybody here.
Yeah.
What was it about him that captured that momentum at that time? And so history is always evolving. I can tell you're a student of history, a student of music. All of this, it all cycles together, doesn't it?
And it teaches us this history that we know all these important facts, also teaches about the future. So one of the cool things about this day is that morning at John Wood Community College, we're having a religious freedom symposium. And our opening invocation is being given by a Muslim. We have an Islamic center here that's fairly new relative to the history of Quincy, which I think is a beautiful thing that we have another group, another faith that is coming to the city of Quincy that can exist here and thrive here. And so we get to hear and learn from other people's faith and religious experiences and accept and help support each other in our beliefs.
And an interesting sidebar to that. The Muslim community was gathering funds and fundraising and had land acquired and everything and was going to build a mosque. And then 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the backlash from that caused them to go a little bit more underground,
mm-hmm.
to be a little bit more circumspect.
Yes.
We've all experienced that. I think there's not a person out there who's fervently religious that hasn't had some moment in their life when it said, probably not a great idea at the moment to identify that I'm a X.
Yes.
Because most people here are Y, and they mm-hmm. may automatically not like me because of that.
Yeah.
And so this religious freedom that we so take for granted, mm-hmm. because most of us have never known anything else.
Right.
But sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone to really know about persecution. And I always remember, I've told this story before, the little girl living next to me when I was growing up, she's Baptist,
yeah.
Okay? We're Catholic.
Yeah.
And I'm watching on TV over in Norland Island, you know, all this problem.
Yes.
And I say to my mother, in all honesty, I mean, I'm a young kid, I'm trying to struggle, is June going to try to kill me?
Really?
Like,
yeah.
No. That has to do with politics. You know, mother's trying to explain it's economics, it's politics.
Right.
It's really, they identify them as the Protestants or the Catholics. But really, that's not what the fight is about.
Right.
And even among some of the land squabbles among the Mormons
of
out
course,
west and
of
everything,
course, yeah.
The Mormon wars and everything.
Right.
Was it really, what about your religion? It was about people that shared that religion.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Henry VIII didn't sit down and go, you know, I think the Catholic Church is just really crappy.
Right.
But he basically was saying, you know, he won't let me do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm the king. I'll start my own religion.
Exactly, yes.
You know, and so all of this is, there's about that. And when I was growing up, Quincy was so homogenous, was so Catholic.
Right.
So German,
mm-hmm.
You know, that other was like, you know, forget
yeah.
racial
right.
things. It was
right.
like, oh, you're Irish, you know, oh,
yeah.
you're other. So I think this will be a great celebration of the other, because
mm-hmm.
this whole county was built by others.
Yes.
People who came here for a reason.
Right.
Whether it be the Dutch who have the windmill up in Golden, or the Germans who built that beautiful Salem church and built this town.
Yes.
And or the Catholics who came here, again, in a little bit more discouraged group.
Right.
But created a great stronghold.
And it still is.
And it still
yeah,
is.
Yeah. So for the future, if you look, we have more people coming. And welcome. We're glad you're here. Let's work together. And I think if we open up our hearts and our minds, the end product is always better. It's going to be better than what we thought we wanted in our own, you know, ethnocentric ideas or beliefs. And really, if we listen to each other and just give space for someone else's ideas, it's okay. It's scary, but it's okay. Things will work out.
So this is the evening of May 10th. That's
yes.
a Saturday night. It
yes.
is at 7:30.
7:30 p.m.
At Morrison Auditorium. Is there a charge to get in?
There is. So you can purchase tickets at the Adams County Bicentennial website, or you can purchase tickets, hard paper tickets, at the Hy-Vee on Broadway or
okay.
at the Quincy Symphony office.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much is that charge?
The charge, if you buy the symposium and the concert together, it's $25 at the door. Or if you actually purchase it earlier, I think it's $20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a whole symposium going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a down on the riverfront, there'll be a plaque that will be commemorated
yes.
about the refugees that came across the river on that frozen day.
Yeah.
And then this evening caps it off. Now, the next question is, after you are commissioned to write a symphony, you want it to be played elsewhere. Will we be listening to WTAD and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir comes on some Sunday morning at 10:30
yeah,
and there's an excerpt
yeah.
from Dr. Nathan Seaman's City of Refuge? I mean, what's next for the City of Refuge?
So that would be highly unlikely for that scenario to play out. However, you know, hey, if there's a need and I'm able to help out with music, I'm happy to help out.
But I mean, will you, you know, who owns this piece? Did you commission, is this owned now by the Bicentennial?
So when I printed the piece of music, it was commissioned by the Bicentennial, but I gave the copies to Jane Paulette, and it's donated to the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. So it will be housed there, and they can do with it whatever they wish.
So it could be played by other symphonies in other parts
yes.
of America.
Yes.
And your name will become famous.
Right.
Well, there's a natural attraction to this. Don't laugh. I think that this could be something that, you know, we might see it portrayed on a much larger stage than Quincy. As someone who has moved here and been welcomed here and has a successful practice here and getting to meet new people,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
probably meeting new people all the time. I mean, I used to think I knew everybody in Quincy, but here's living proof. There's somebody I don't know. Of course, he's not really from here.
Right.
I have to say
I'm
that
a
as
transplant.
A native.
Yes, yes.
I have to say that as a native. Well, thank you. You're not really
right.
from here.
It's been
and
20
that,
years.
And
so.
That, well, who cares?
Right. I'm not from here. Yes.
I don't care how long you stay.
Right.
You're not from here.
Exactly.
That is that statement, and we I joke about that,
yeah.
but it is true.
Yeah, it is. It's a thing.
There is this whole thing about other, but part of that is for our own self-protection too,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Oh,
because
yes.
we have to move around to improve ourselves, and sometimes we move around to escape situations that we don't want to be in anymore.
Yeah.
And so we're always a little bit afraid of the other
mm-hmm.
and always clinging to what is alike. But that's the human nature. When we let the other in, we expand our own horizons.
For sure.
When you say, oh my goodness, we were in Arizona and Texas, and now we're in Quincy. But when you find the joy in it, and you find something to celebrate about it,
yeah.
that it's really, it's not about where you are, but what your attitude is about where you are.
You're exactly right. So speaking as a medical doctor, the human brain is wired to not do things different. It knows what's familiar and wants to stick with that. It's proven to be very effective for years that
for
it keeps
safety.
Us safe. Yeah, it's a safety thing. And so really you have to go past those natural desires and lean into and look at and listen. And it really is a better experience. There is greater risk involved because you might hear something that maybe conflicts with what you've believed or known. And you have to sit with it and give some time to try to understand it. But in the long run, it's always a better experience.
Well, this has been a delightful experience, as I knew it would be, because everybody that said, you've got to have him on the show, you've got to have him on the show, I said, okay, I'll have him on the show.
Come on.
It's been fantastic. Tickets are $25,
yes.
And that includes the symposium,
mm-hmm.
as well as the concert. Folks, you know, let's get out and support this. I unfortunately will not be able to be there. I'll be out in Arizona.
There you go.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Yeah, you're here, I'm there, and I'll miss the big symphony.
Right.
But go, encourage. This is our bicentennial. This is our once-in-a-lifetime activity.
Yes.
We will talk about this with our grandchildren. Oh, when we had our 200th birthday party, this is the kind of stuff we
yes.
did. And then when the 250th, they'll pull out the time capsules and look at all of that.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been delightful. Thank you for coming to Quincy.
You're welcome.
I can
likewise.
I see that
this
you have
great.
Enriched our community. Nothing else. You've helped the population grow.
You're right.
We
good
need
for the
that.
Schools.
Good for the schools. Thank you so very
you're
much.
You're welcome.